Okay, good morning to everyone. I'm glad to see each one of you, whether I'm seeing your live picture or seeing you, an actual video of you, or whether I'm seeing an image of you, a picture, or just your name. I'm glad to meet with you today as we look into the book, God's Word. If we have any new persons with us this morning, we welcome you. My name is Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible Class at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. And we are currently studying the Gospel according to Luke. And I welcome any new people as well as each one of us. We gather together in the name of Jesus. We have a lot to do this morning in studying God's Word. I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. Most of you know that, but everyone may not. And this morning, we will be studying our home-based scripture today. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 21 through 24. Let's go to our Lord in prayer on this November the 8th in the year 2020. Our Father who art in heaven, we come before you with praises on our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts. We praise you on last Sunday because you were worthy. And we praise you this Sunday because you are still worthy. You are eternally worthy to be praised. And so we bless your name, O God. We bless the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior, your only begotten Son, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We give unto Jesus praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, and give praise to the Spirit of God, who is the Comforter, our Helper, and the Teacher. We ask you now, Spirit of God, to be our Teacher, to lead us, and to guide us in truth. We pray for each one present and for every need and for every person and their family. We lift them up in prayer. And now, Father, we ask you to breathe on us and breathe on this, your word, and make it more than just a Sunday school class. Make it an encounter with the living word of God, that we might be conformed into the image of your Son. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and anything that would hinder us from hearing from you. Dear Lord, we pray, forgive. And now we look forward to hearing what you have to say. And we say, Lord God, as Samuel said so many years ago, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this morning we'll be studying, continuing in our study from Luke chapter 10, verses 21 through 24. As you know, we have been in Luke chapter 10 for several weeks, and we have seen in Luke chapter 10 that Jesus appointed 70. We saw that in verse 1. He appointed 70, he commissioned them, he gave them directions and instruction. And they were to go into the cities and the places where he himself would be coming. We know that Jesus now has finished his ministry in Galilee, and he is now on his way to Jerusalem. And so he commissions forth these 70, and he lets them know that they will meet people who will both receive them and reject them. Now, it's more than just receiving or rejecting the messengers, but it's also receiving or rejecting the message that they had to give, also receiving or rejecting the Christ. There would be both those who would receive and those also who would reject. A couple of weeks ago, we saw that the entire Galilean ministry of Jesus, you could put a stamp on it, and he overall was rejected. And that is in fulfillment of Isaiah 53, in part. He is despised and rejected of men. And also, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. However, the Lord always has a people. He always has someone to praise him, to worship him, to obey him, to love him. And so the 70, they returned in verse 17. They returned and they returned successfully. They had a successful mission. In spite of being met with satanic opposition, they were successful. And so it says in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy. And they are joyful because of what the Lord had given them to do. They had accomplished kingdom purposes and spiritual purposes. And so they say in verse 17, Lord, even the demons are subject to us, and they give God the glory. They know where their ability came from. It came through and from the name of Jesus. And so they are excited. They have went into the harvest, and souls had been saved and delivered in fulfillment of the commission that Jesus had of himself in Luke chapter 4. On last week, we saw one of the key words that appears now in verses 17 through 20 is the word joy and rejoice. We see in verse 17 the word joy. We go down to verse 20 and we see the word rejoice. And then in verse 21, we also see rejoice again. It is in verse 17 that we see the 70 are rejoicing because of their successful mission. And then Jesus shares in their joy. They are rejoicing because the demons were subject to them in the name of Jesus. But then Jesus says in verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He shares in their joy. He knows how excited they are because he himself saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then Jesus goes on and he gives to them authority to trample over demonic spirits, all the power of the enemy. So he makes promises to his people. But then he tells them in verse 20, don't rejoice. He said, nevertheless, in other words, yes, it's good to rejoice. However, there is a greater reason to rejoice. There is a more deeper, a fuller joy. And it is in verse 20 where he says, do not rejoice in this. Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather. And so he says, yes, he rejoiced with them. He let them rejoice. But then he corrects them because we're continuing to grow in grace. And he says, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so that is a greater joy. It's a joy to be used by God. Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. We all want to be used by God. It's a joy to have the gifts that he has given to us. We value the gifts. We need the gifts of God to accomplish his work. But even greater than that is the work that has been done through the blood of Jesus, that our names are written in heaven. And so now we see Jesus says that, he says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now I want to stop there just a moment because it's very, very important that we know that our names are written in heaven as well. Now my name as well as your name is on many things down on this earth. My name is on the church roll at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. My name is in all kinds of places, as well as your name, whether it's an account with a bank or whatever it may be. Maybe you're enrolled in school. And so our names are on many different things, but none of those registrations and none of those memberships qualify us to get in heaven. What's going to make sure that we are in heaven, first of all, is having faith in the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. And then our names are written in heaven. Well, why do our names need to be written in heaven? That ensures we are citizens. We are citizens. The Bible speaks of citizens. Because heaven, now God hasn't told us too much about heaven, but we know there is a heaven and we know it's a good place to be where God is, our Father who art in heaven. We know that the New Jerusalem is a city. And so there's a city. And then the Bible speaks of heaven as being a country. And so there's much we could say about that. But we want to see, just like I am a citizen, and I think most all of you here, I don't know if London's on the phone with us this morning. London may be or may not be. But wherever London is, Debbie, I think I saw Debbie's name out here. She's probably a citizen in the United Kingdom or in England. But we are citizens here of the United States of America. I am a citizen of the United States of America. However, that will not qualify me to get in heaven. God's not going to say, where were you born? And no one's getting into God's heaven based on their citizenship on this earth. So we need to make sure that we are citizens in heaven. That comes through by being born again. Well, let's look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go to quite a few scriptures this morning. So let's turn on over to the right to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians, and you have to go to the right a little ways. It's after the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Now we're looking at now our names being written in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see there are two locations there. Our citizenship is in heaven. So that's through being in Christ. If we're in Christ and our Savior, he is in heaven. Our Father, he is in heaven. We are made citizens. We are citizens in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait. So we're here on earth, and we're here on earth right now waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would speak of his second coming. But the main thing now is having your citizenship in heaven. Well, let's go on over to Hebrews. Just keep going to the right till you get to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And anyone, you just can't up and say, I want to be a citizen of anything. There are certain requirements to become a citizen. So to become a citizen of heaven, you must be born again. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews chapter 12 is going to give us a roll. It's like a roll call of who all is in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look at beginning at verse 22. And verse 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay, so we're not speaking about the earthly. We're speaking about the heavenly, the spiritual, not the earthly Jerusalem, but the heavenly. So verse 22, but you have come. If you are in Christ spiritually, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. And that this hymn came to me that we used to sing, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. It's the city we're going to. The city of the living God, the name of the city is Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. And Revelation, the book of Revelation tells us the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now here comes the roll call, as it were, of who all is in heaven. And so the first group named is to an innumerable company of angels. Who's in heaven? A whole bunch of heaven of angels. And Revelation says in Revelation chapter 5, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels. That's in Revelation 5. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels. And the writer of Hebrews just says, an innumerable company of angels. But that's not all of who's in heaven. Verse 23 goes on to say, to the general assembly and church. Now, this is our group. And church of the firstborn. And that is being born again, being in Christ, not just having your name on a church membership roll here on this earth. It is to those who have been born again, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered. You see that word registered in heaven. And so I think of a lot of songs. There is your name on the roll. And we sing songs, the angels in heaven done sign my name. Well, we don't know who signed our name. We don't know who wrote it. The main thing is to make sure your name is in heaven. And you have to be registered, and I'm reading from the New King James, registered in heaven. And you know, we just went through an election and we had to vote and you had to be registered. Well, we want to make sure if we didn't get registered down here, and we should have, but if you didn't, make sure you are registered in heaven. To God, well, we know God is in heaven, to God, the judge of all. To the spirits of just men made perfect. And that's another group of people. The spirits of just men made perfect. And that's probably, I'm not saying it dogmatically, but we know those Old Testament saints, they're in glory as well. To the spirits of the just men made perfect. And of course, to Jesus. And so we want to make sure that our names are registered in heaven and we are citizens in heaven. Let's go on over to the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is going to give us the name of the book that has these the registration of the citizens of heaven. Let's look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Now, this is a reason to rejoice that my name, Velma Jean Sanders, over in heaven, in glory land, in the registration book, my name is written. And you all make sure and say your own name. Our names are written in heaven because of the blood of Jesus. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Now, this first starts out talking about those under the rule of the Antichrist. So Revelation 13, verse 8 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So in other words, everyone's name who is not written, everyone's name is not in this book. Everyone's name who is not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And that group who is living during the rule of the Antichrist, there, and they worship the beast, the Antichrist, their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. And so here we see the name of the book. The name of the book that we want to be registered in is the book of life of the Lamb. Or you may hear it said, the Lamb's book of life. Let's go on over to chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 beginning at verse 11. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11. And it reads, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. So that's heaven and earth is getting out of Dodge. That's the end of heaven and earth right there. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now we are reading, that's a prophetic scripture, prophecy. It will come to pass. Now, if you told someone that who does not believe in the word of God, they might think we are crazy, but we believe it because God said the day will come where earth and the heaven will fled away. And so the same God that Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That same God one day will see that it flees away. Verse 12. And I saw the dead. Now, this is sinners, the unredeemed sinners. And I saw the dead, small and great, but they are named as the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books with an S on it, books were open. Now, this is the judgment, the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment for sinners. And it says, at the judgment, and books were open. And another book, singular, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Now, a whole bunch of books, it says books were open. And then there's this other book that you want to make sure your name is in that book. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written, which were written in the books. Okay? The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so let's go back to Luke now, because we have seen the importance of making sure that your name is written in heaven. Because if our names are written in heaven, we do not have to fear the second death. We do not have to fear hell, death, or the grave. We do not have to fear the lake of fire. We are in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus was letting them know, yes, it was a great thing that you were able to cast out demons in my name. But greater than that, far greater than that, is that your name has been written in heaven. And now we go on to the next verse. And we want to take a minute. Let's take a minute for yourself right now to rejoice. And I thank you, Lord. I rejoice. I haven't seen it, but based on your word and in faith in Jesus Christ, I praise you that my name is written in the book of life. Glory to God. Now let's keep on going. And then the next verse, and I'm going to read these four verses, verses 21 through 24. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, Verse 22, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. That's another reason to rejoice. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. So we say amen to the word of God. Now we pick up on this word rejoice. The 70 return rejoicing. Verse 17. Jesus said, nevertheless, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Let's connect the dots, dot to dot. And the next time rejoicing shows up, look who's rejoicing. It says, then in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. Now, what has just been said by Jesus? Jesus has just said, he has just told them, your name is written in heaven. That's what he just said. And it's as if, and when you meditate on the word, I encourage you to meditate on the word. Have you ever experienced something? And all of us have. And even if you thought of something, even now, you could think of something good. And you could get all choked up about it, whatever it is that is so good. Or it could be something, someone that you really love that has passed on. And you start talking about them and thinking about them. You get choked up and you could get overcome by emotion, whether it's a good thing or whether it's a bad thing, where the emotions can overcome. Well, it's as if Jesus, thinking about knowing what he has done and the Father is doing and what Jesus is going to do at Calvary, and their names are written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life, that Jesus got happy. You know, that's a word we use, and we use the word he shouted. You know, we use that in some vernaculars about a shout and getting happy. And Jesus got happy and he rejoiced because of these names of the 70 that were written in heaven. It was in that same hour, connecting the dots, joy, rejoice. Now Jesus rejoices and his joy is greater than ours. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Now, this is a real joy. This is not no fly-by-night joy. This is joy that comes through the Spirit of God. And we have seen the Spirit of God at work in the life of Jesus. We know, now let's think about the Spirit of God. Jesus was what? Conceived by the Holy Ghost. Yes, he was. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so we see the Spirit of God at work in Jesus's life, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus also, as well, the next time we see the Spirit of God and Jesus is at the baptism. When Jesus was baptized and when he came up and heaven opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and landed on Jesus, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And then we see where it says, and Jesus, after the baptism, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, Jesus and the Spirit. So Jesus conceived by the Holy Ghost. Jesus, the dove came upon him at the baptism. Jesus led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And when you read the end of that, it says he came out with the power of the Spirit. And then Jesus in Luke chapter 4, his commission, his mission, where Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And then he goes on to say what he's been anointed to do. And now we see Jesus rejoicing in the Spirit. And he says, it says, in that hour, after Jesus had said, your names are written in heaven, because Jesus knows like none other. Well, he knows what's in the book. He knows those names are there. He knows the price of having the name in heaven. He knows the whole history of how that name is written in the book of life. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, now we're going to get the words of his praise and the word of his worship to God. He's going to be rejoicing in the Spirit. And he says, I thank you, Father. Now we see the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In that hour, Jesus, that's God the Son, rejoiced in the Spirit, that's God the Spirit, and said, I thank you, Father. And so true praise, I mean, if it's true praise and true worship, all three persons of the Godhead are involved. If it's true worship, it is of the Spirit. If it's true worship, it comes through Jesus. If it's true worship, it ascends up through Jesus, our great high priest, to God. And so we see the Godhead here in that hour. Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, that's what Psalm 100 says. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so Jesus enters into his gates with thanksgiving and he says, I thank you, Father. Now we're being privileged to hear the actual words of Jesus in praise, in prayer, in praise, in rejoicing. Now, many times the scripture lets us know Jesus prayed. And sometimes it said, one time it said he prayed all night, but we don't know a word that he said. But we are privileged right here because the Holy Spirit, by God's wisdom, had it documented that we could read the actual words of this praise and we could grow thereby. And so the first thing Jesus says in praise to God and rejoicing. I thank you, Father. Now let's look at that. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. There. Now he said, Father, and he also said, Lord. So let's look at Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So that's after Corinthians, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. So let's go on over to Ephesians chapter 1. And right at the beginning of the book of Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, well, let's read verse 2. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's start right there, because we see Jesus and the Father, but we see relationship here. It says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus. So blessed be the God of Jesus, but it also says, blessed be the Father of Jesus. So we have blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, we know there's the Godhead, one God manifested in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But God does all things decently and in order. Someone is still the head. And even though God, Jesus is God fully, the Spirit of God is God fully, God the Father, God fully, one God manifested in three persons. But there is order in the Godhead, and the Father is the head. And so we see Jesus here saying, Paul here in Ephesians says, blessed be the God and Father, because Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have talked about those three names and titles, Lord, Jesus, and Christ. So let's go back to Luke chapter 10. So Luke chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus says, I thank you, Father. Now Jesus, Father, God the Father is Jesus's Father from eternity. He is God the Father is Jesus's Father from eternity. Now that's a mystery. We can't understand how the Son is just as quote old as the Father. That doesn't happen. But in the Spirit, in the Godhead, the Son is the same age as the Father, and the age is eternity. Eternal. And so from eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, the Son is as old as the Father. And old, you know, old, that's a word with time. That's a word that comes with time. But you see what I'm saying? There is no, well, the Father was first and then came the Son later, like here on earth. But with the Father and the Son, eternally, Jesus is the Son of God. And so he acknowledges God as his Father. I thank you, Father. Now he tells us, he's going to tell us in Luke chapter 11. Let's look at Luke 11 for a moment. Now it came to pass as he was praying, Luke 11, 1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, our Father. Now, God is our Father, but it's only because of Jesus the Son. You have to be in Christ. He is the Son. He is the Son, capital S, of God. And if you are in Christ through the new birth, being regenerated, you all know what the word regenerated means. Re means to do it again. And generated, what you have in the word regenerated, R-E-G-E-N-E. And there's those genes. genes. You got to be reborn, reconnected, regened. And so through regeneration and also through adoption, we have become sons of God, and God is our Father, but only through Jesus. If anyone is not in Jesus, God is not their Father. You have to be in Jesus. He is the Son of God. So back to Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and he said, I thank you. I thank you, Father, Lord, Lord. Now he acknowledges his Father as Lord. Now you know what Lord means. It means a lot. But Lord, Master and Ruler of heaven, God is Lord of heaven and earth. Nothing happens in heaven and in earth. The good, the bad, the ugly, a lot we don't understand, a lot we wish it wasn't like it, but everything that happens, it happens through the authority and through the will of God. God is the Father, God is the Lord of heaven and of earth, Lord of heaven and earth. And now Jesus goes on, now first in his rejoicing, he rejoices in his Father. He praises his Father. He thanks his Father. He commends Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now he's going to talk about the work of God, the work of God, his Father, what the Father has done. And he says that you, Father, have hidden. You have hidden. Now we're going to see another key word that's going to start appearing now. We have seen joy and rejoicing, but now notice how many times the word revealed will come up, something like the word revealed. So let's follow that for a moment. In verse 21, first of all, we see the word hidden, hidden. And then we see opposite of the word hidden is the word revealed. Okay, those are opposites. Hidden and then revealed. But then we go on down to the next verse, verse 22. And at the end of verse 22 is that word again, reveal, reveal. Then we keep going to verse 23. And in verse 23, it says, blessed are the eyes which see, see. Verse 24, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard. And so now the key word that comes up is seeing, revealed, and then the word hidden. Now hidden comes up first in verse 21. Jesus rejoicing in his Father. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. What things? Well, the things we've just talked about. One of those things is that their names, the 70, if we know a group of names that's written in heaven, it's those 70 that just returned. Jesus said their names were in heaven, that 70 group. So Jesus says, verse 21, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. Now, when God hides something, it is hidden. You can hide and seek and try to seek forever, but you will never find it once God hides a thing. And so God has hidden a whole bunch of things from which group? The wise and the prudent. Now, that has nothing to do with education. That has nothing to do with earthly education or degrees. That's not what that's meaning there, the wise and the prudent. That is meaning those who are in pride and those who think they know so much, those who think they know more than God, that group that rejected the Lord and rejected him, the key of knowledge and the fount of all wisdom. And so for that group that rejects Christ and try to be smarter than God, well, God hides from them spiritual things. From them, God hides from them that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. And now here comes the opposite. And God has revealed. Now, reveal means what? You know, the word apocalypse, take off the cover, lift up the cover, open the door, show it. And so God has revealed a mystery. He has revealed to us. The Father has revealed mysteries. That's us, you all. That's our group. If we're in Christ and not walking in pride and saying, I need the word of God. Father, open my eyes that I may see. Then we become that group that is called the babes. And that has nothing to do with age. That has nothing to do with natural age. What that has to do with is a childlike heart and a heart that wants to hear and receive from God. And to that group, God opens and he gives to us, he reveals to us these things. And then Jesus, praising the Father, he says, even so, Father, in spite of God hiding, God hid some things from the wise and prudent. God reveals some things to the babes. Why did he do that? Well, Jesus said, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. In other words, God does whatever God wants to do is good. And so we always yield to the will of God. Whatever God wants to do, it's good. He has, now he's going to work it out. That doesn't mean everything in and of itself is good. It could be very wicked, but God has a plan and a purpose for all things. And so Jesus praising the will of God, he says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good, it was good. You know, that's how Genesis opened. God saw it and said, it's good. And Jesus says right here, it seemed good in your sight. Even if things may not seem good in our sight, remember God, as Jesus started out here with the name of God, Lord of heaven and earth. Well, let's go to the book of Romans real quick. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Because it has a doxology. Chapter 11 ends with a doxology of praise to God. Romans chapter 11. And chapter 9, 10, and 11 work together as a trilogy. Those are three chapters talking about the will of God. But this trilogy ends with a doxology. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Praising the Lord. And it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. Now, my Bible has exclamation points on both of those sentences. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Question mark. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, here comes the doxology, for of him, of God the Father, for of him and through him and to him are all things, in whom to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's the doxology of praise. And most doxologies in the Bible say now unto him, and we'll hear some of us here, Pastor Backus, give the doxology from Jude. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. Well, this doxology here, Romans 11, verse 36, says, for of him, it's initiating from the will of God, of him and through him, he's working out his will, of him and through him, and ultimately to him is what? All things, to whom be glory forever. And we say amen to the will of God. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. And so Jesus praises, he rejoices in what God has done. He's rejoicing in who the Father is. God the Father is his Father, and God is his Lord. Jesus rejoices in the Father, saying and knowing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth. Then he rejoices that God has hidden himself from the wise and the prudent, and God has revealed himself to the humble. And then he praises the will of God. And he praises the will of God by saying, "For whom, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight." So God, Jesus is praising the will of God. Now we think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That was Jesus's will. "If it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, and we're so glad he did, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Because you know all of us got a will. If we want it, if we always got what we wanted, the world, think the world's a mess now, it would really be a mess if we all got what we wanted. Behind everything is God through his wisdom, to the only wise God. Okay, let's keep going. Luke chapter 10, and we have looked at verse 21, but let's go on to verse 22. And verse 22 says, all things. Now, Jesus is going to make some declarations here. First declaration is, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. That's a declaration. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. So you see, God the Father is the head, and he gave to the Son all things. That's the first declaration. Then Jesus goes on and he says in his next declaration, verse 22, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. Then the next declaration is, and no one, I told you all about no last week, no one knows who the Son is except the Father. That's quite the declaration. No one knows who Jesus is. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. That includes us. We didn't just up one day and know Jesus on our own. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And another declaration, and who the Father is except the Son. So no one, you know, that's a tight, you talk about tight. You talk about an intimate relationship. No one knows the Father but the Son. And no one knows the Son but the Father. And you've heard, you know, sometimes we use that word, they are tight. Well, ain't nobody tighter than Jesus and his Father. You don't get to know them on your own. And so Jesus makes that declaration, and then he declares, and the one to whom the Son wills, there's the will of the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Now, the question is, do you know God as your Father? Do you know the Father? And you have to ask that question for yourself. Has Jesus revealed the Father to you? Do you know God as your Father? Well, I can say, yes, I know God as my Father. I talked to him this morning and he speaks to me. I know I have a relationship with God the Father. Well, how is that? It's because the Son willed it. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Son? Well, I can say, yes, I have a relationship with the Son. Well, how do you have a relationship with the Son, Velma? It's because the Father willed it. And I know Jesus because the Father revealed him to me. Do you have a relationship with the Spirit of God? We should have a relationship. You know, the more you walk with God, there are three persons in the Godhead: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And over time, you develop a relationship with the Father. You develop a relationship with the Son. You develop a relationship with the Spirit of God. And so Jesus now, in these declarations, he says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. Now let's go to the book of Colossians, because we're going to, now that all things, that is a big study, and it is bigger than I can tell it. It's more than I can tell. You talk about the depth of God. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So when we go over to Colossians chapter 1, And we're talking about these all things. All things have been given to Jesus by the Father. Now, just looking at it, if you just look naturally at things, it does not look like it. Matter of fact, it does not appear to the natural eye that God is in control. But to the spiritual eye, we know that God is working all things. All things are of him, through him, and to him. And all things have been delivered to the Son. Now, in prophecy, some of that has come to pass. Other is yet to come to pass. But Jesus is letting us know it's as good as done. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. We're looking at these all things. And we're talking about Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Now, this is in praise of Jesus Christ. Jesus, he is the image. He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You know, John 1, 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all, there's that word all, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. He is the Son of God. For by him, now here comes these all things, because Luke told us all things have been delivered to me by my Father. Well, let's look at all things from Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, Father, all things, or Son, that's the Son, for by him, all things were created. So that all things right there. For by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things, there's another all things. And if you write in your Bible, that's a good thing to circle, is these all things and the word all, which is in verse 15, over all creation. Verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And it's all things. And remember all, because I remember Reverend Wade, who was my first pastor, J.C. Wade Sr., and he would say, there is nothing on the other side of all. So all things were created through him and for him. And he is before, here comes another all things, and he is before all things. And in him, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell. That's the fullness of the Godhead. And by him to reconcile all things. There's the all things. And that's the last all things in this chain. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So our time is almost up. We have 2 minutes. So we see, let's go back to Luke. God the Father, he is the Lord. He is ruling over all things in heaven and in earth. And Jesus prays the will of God. We praise his will as well. And then Luke chapter 10, in our final minute here, Luke chapter 10, verse 23, then it says, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said privately, blessed. And that would be our group, you all. We are blessed in Jesus. We are part of his disciples. He said, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. Now you have to ask the question as we close, and I'm going to go on into prayer. What is it that the disciples had seen? Now, next week, Lord willing, we're going to go on with verse 24. 5. If you want to study ahead, we're going to go on with verse 25. What is it that the disciples had seen and heard? Well, they had witnessed the end of the Old Testament age. That group saw the end of the Old Testament and the ushering in of the New Covenant and the New Testament. That's what they saw. Father, we enter into prayer because our time is up, but we want to thank you for what their eyes have seen and heard. We thank you for those 70 and the disciples who witnessed God himself, Jesus, walking in the flesh. They saw it and they heard it. And then you, by your Spirit, had it written down that we might read it, believe it, and receive it. And so now, Lord, we lift up our hands in praise to you, to the only wise God, our Father. We give you glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. We say hallelujah to the will of God. Father, you are Lord of heaven and earth. We praise you, and we praise your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Thank you, Sister Piper. God bless you all.
All
of us are together for good. Don't forget
Amen.
That.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Hope to see you next Amen. Week. Have a blessed week, everyone.
You do the
you
same.
Do the same.
Bless glory to God. Glory. Give glory to God.
Glory.
All week.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Miss Sadie?
Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Wasn't it beautiful? Yeah. She moved fast today.
I couldn't keep up with her.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Ann, Sister Ann, and Brother Joe, and Sister Barbara Freeman. I can see your faces. And Sister Deaver, and then some names. And Sister Lily Carter, who popped it back up. And all of you all, names and phone numbers. God be with mm-hmm. you. Until we meet again. Amen.
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 Love you too. Bye bye.
Love you too. Bye. Bye bye.